came to town. Ran into a children.
All right. Welcome one and all. This is DJ Throwback here on a Throwback Thursday. This is the rewind about to start right now. So, how are you guys doing, time travelers? It's been a while since we've talked. All right. My first segment, as many of you may know, is called Then and Now, where we discuss a variety of different celebrities from back then and find out exactly where they are now. So, my first celebrity, actually the only one for today, is Madonna. Madonna Louise Sillon was born August 16th of 1958 in Bay City, Michigan. Her mother, sadly, passed away of breast cancer when she was just a mere 9 years old. Now, Madonna had a hard time coping with the fact that her father had married their housekeeper just a year later. She actually hated him for it, and in return, she acted out. She was kicked out of about four different middle schools, and it wasn't until she got to Rochester Adams High School that she became a completely perfect child. She started getting straight A's in school and even went out for the cheerleading squad and became cheer captain. Upon graduating from Rochester Adams, she received a dance scholarship to the University of Michigan, School of Music, Theater, and Dance in 1978. She then dropped out of school and moved to New York City. She had about $35 in her pocket, and she worked as a waitress at Dunkin' Donuts, where she also started singing backup for the French disco artist Patrick Hernandez on his world tour in 1979, where she became romantically involved with the musician Dan Gilroy. Now, her and Gilroy, they decided to leave poor old French Patrick and start their own band called The Breakfast Club. So her and her boyfriend started this band, and they were doing all right. And then they broke up, and so did the band. But Madonna also found a new boyfriend who happened to be a drummer. His name was Stephen Gray. They began to write songs and formed a new band called the Emmys. And she later, that year, decided to just go solo, forget the band, which was probably her best choice. She impressed the DJ/record producer, Mark Kamens, and he contacted Seymour Stein, the founder of Sire Records, and made a meeting for Madonna, and that got her started. She was signed for a record deal in 1982 with Stein and Sire Records, and she released her first single, Everybody, in October. And her second single, Burning Up, later that year in March. They both became club hits and were number three on the top hot dance charts for Billboard Club Song Hot Dance Charts, She started working on her debut album that was released in July of 1983, and that peaked at number 8 on the Billboard charts. Madonna's style also started to influence young girls in the 80s, but it wasn't until she released her second studio album called Like a Virgin that gave her her stardom and her global popularity. The hit single off the album was Like a Virgin, and it topped the charts for about 6 weeks. Now, many religious and moralists hated the song, and they wanted to ban it from radio, but that never happened. So, when she performed the song at the VMAs, which was also known as her iconic performance, she stood on top of a wedding cake in a white dress and gloves and sang her heart out. And that was pretty crazy for the 80s, I guess. Now, Material Girl was her next hit off the album. And in that music video, she actually mimicked Marilyn Monroe and her performance of Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend in the film Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Now, while filming this music video, she started dating actor Sean Penn and actually married him later that year in 1985 on her birthday. And she started her career in movie making. She was in movies such as Vision Quest and Desperately Seeking Susan. In 1985, she headlined her first tour with the Beastie Boys, actually becoming her opening act. In June of 1986, she released her third studio album, True Blue, with three number one singles. First one being Papa Don't Preach, the second one Live to Tell, and the third being Open Your Heart. Now, she was also featured in the film Who's That Girl, which was the name of her actual next headlining world tour in 1987. So, now she was on tour, and she also divorced Sean Penn in 88. But first, she got her marriage annulled through the church in 87. That year, she also signed an endorsement deal with Pepsi, and her fourth studio album was released called Like a Prayer. Three more number one hit singles on that album, Express Yourself, Like a Prayer, and Cherish. And by the end of the 80s, she was named the Artist of the Decade. Pretty big accomplishment, if I do say so myself. She starred in Dick Tracy the Movie, featuring the soundtrack album, with the biggest hit song being Vogue. Then she started dating co-star Warren Beatty, but they fizzled out by the time 1990 came around. Her next Blood Ambition World Tour was in the 90s, and the Immaculate Collection album was released, which is her first greatest hit album. She also happened to be dating Vanilla Ice for about 8 months, but he dumped her after he found out she released a sex book. Awkward. The first documentary was also released about her in 91. And in 92, she had a role in the hit film A League of Their Own, one of my personal favorites. She founded her own entertainment company called Maverick, not only records and films. And then her fifth studio album was released called Erotica, which featured five more number ones. This woman just produces them like crazy. Deeper and Deeper, Bad Girl, Fever, Rain, and Bye Bye Baby. Her sixth album came after that in 94, which was a complete change of pace for everybody. Mainly because she wanted to go more conservative and it was more of a lovey-dovey kind of album. She hated getting the bad reviews from everybody about looking all sexy and scandalous for the 80s. Come on, it's the 80s. How crazy can it get? So, after her more mellow album was released, she started to date her personal trainer, Caprice Leon, a short time after that. In 1996, she actually gave birth to hers and Caprice's daughter, Lourdes Maria Caprias Capricci. Wow, that's a mouthful. So her seventh album, Ray of Light, was released in 98, which also was a more mellow, soft, lovey-dovey kind of album. And she was in the Guinness Book of World Records in 98 for being the first female to sell so many records worldwide. While she was filming tons of different movies, she met director Guy Ritchie, who would become her second husband. She met him in 1998, and 2 years later gave birth to her son, Rocco John Ritchie Sedice, in 2000. She married Guy Ritchie in 2000, in December, the day after they christened their son, actually, on December 22nd. She sang in the 2003 VMAs with a scandalous kiss between Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera occurred. She also started writing books. In 2003, she released a first child's book called The English Roses, and it featured six girls who hated each other, but they were best friends. Sounds a little bit like a movie I know called Mean Girls, but anyways, back on the topic. In 2006, she released her first clothing line with H&M in Sweden. The clothing line was called M. She was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2008. In 2009, she collaborated with Justin Timberlake on a single called 4 Minutes. She released her second clothing line in collaboration with her daughter in 2011. The clothing line was called Material Girl. 2012, she was on the halftime entertainment show for the Super Bowl. And today, she continues touring the world, just being amazing. Now, for me, Madonna is just amazing. She is literally the idol of the 80s. She took risks. She girl power. It was just the best. Madonna is amazing. In so many words, she can be portrayed and... You know, she was sexy, she was scandalous, she took risks, all sorts of stuff. I actually have really high expectation for what she can do in the future. And as of right now, she's kind of taking it easy, raising her kids, you know, having a good time enjoying life because she's not going wild like she used to in the 80s. But anyways, Madonna, I think, was an icon of the 80s and... She was definitely the girl to look out for. All right, well, I'm going to wrap up, actually, this first segment of The Rewind. This is DJ Throwback here. You are listening to Penguin Radio, and I'm going to play you some Madonna right now. So this is going to be a song called Like a Virgin. I'm going to play it for you guys right now here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. right, now welcome back, time travelers. This is DJ Throwback, and you're listening to The Rewind here on Throwback Thursday. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We're going to head into our second segment of the night called I Played With That. Now, the first toy I'm going to be talking about is a sit and spin. Now, a sit and spin was invented by Jacob Burker Sr. and John F. Mayer in 1973 by Kenner Toys. Now, what it is, it's two circular parts of plastic. One's a base, and the other one is in contact with the ground. It's connected to a smaller symmetrical plastic disc above it, and you pretty much sit on it and crisscross applesauce, and you hold on to the middle and you spin yourself, kind of like you would on the spinning teacups, but you're physically sitting on it and spinning yourself. So I know I played with sit and spin. Me and my little brother always trying to play with the toys. We'd sit on that thing for minutes and spin and spin and spin. You get so dizzy, we'd almost be borderline sick sometimes. It was just insane. I loved my brother's sit and spin. It wasn't even my toy, it was my brother's. I'll never forget this one time though. At a birthday party, we had to pop a balloon, and whoever could pop the balloon first won the prize. And I saw a sit and spin. And sit and spin, if you've ever seen one, they have like a little gradient on the top of the handle. And you know, me being a little mischievous child, decided to cheat a little bit, if that's what I'm gonna call it. I took the balloon, went and sat on the little bumpy part, and made the balloon pop first and won the prize. You know, six-year-olds, we have to win prizes at birthday parties. If we don't win, we are sad, cry, and stuff like that. So I actually have a guest DJ here with me in our station today. DJ Shortstuff, why don't you say hello?
Hey there, guys.
All right, Shortstuff. So, did you ever play with a sit and spin?
Yes, I certainly did. I felt like I was obsessed with it whenever I see them in random places.
Yeah. I know. How long did you sit on there and spin yourself?
Like forever. Even when I stopped spinning, I would just sit there. To save my spot.
Save your spot so the other kids wouldn't take it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So now I'm going to start talking about second toy, which is a Polly Pocket. Did you ever play with a Polly Pocket?
Yeah, I owned one or two of them.
I actually never owned Polly Pockets, but I played with them. My cousin had them, so I'd play with them whenever I went to her house.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of a toy by default mine because it's my cousin's. So, Polly Pocket was created in 1983 by Chris Wiggs. It's actually for his daughter, Kate. The idea to create a tiny toy, was in order to fit into his pocket. So he licensed the toy with Uber Toys in Sweden, and of Sweden, England. Wow. And he first appeared in stores in 1989. So in the early 90s, Mattel actually arranged for the distribution from Bluebird. And in 98, Mattel bought Bluebird. In 99, Mattel changed Polly Pocket's look with a series of collectible items. So I remember there was like three or four different types of Polly Pockets.
I don't remember, I only owned one, so I couldn't tell.
I'm pretty sure there was a blonde one, a brunette.
Well, the original Polly Pocket was blonde.
Yeah, the original Polly Pocket was blonde. She kind of reminded me of like a miniature Barbie, but with a ponytail.
Like a preteen, like a middle schooler,
yeah,
Barbie.
Like Barbie back when she was like 12.
Yeah.
Well, I know Polly Pocket was like Barbies on the go. Literally, whenever we'd go on a road trip or something with my cousins, we'd bring out the Polly Pockets and sit in the car and play with them.
Not me. I'll be afraid I'll lose it, like in the car when I can lose stuff in the back.
Yeah, we got scared a couple times that we might lose some of our Polly Pocket gear, especially those tiny shoes. They're like,
oh my gosh, yes,
they're like smaller than my pinky nails, and that's tiny.
They're the struggle.
Yeah, they are a struggle. I mean, as it was hard enough trying to not lose your Barbie shoes, which those are about you know, the size of my thumbnail.
The only reason you'd find this if you stepped on them.
Yeah, that's right. I remember stepping on my Barbie shoes one too many times. That was, like, the most painful feeling ever.
The worst are Legos, though.
Oh, my God, Legos. Stepping on those. Death upon everybody. So, we're going to head into our third toy of the night. And this toy is an American Girl doll. Did you ever have an American Girl doll, Shortstop?
I never did, but my best friend owns one.
Yeah, so American Girl were actually released in 1986 by Pleasant Company. The dolls portrayed an 8 to 11-year-old girls of a variety of ethnicities. They are also sold with books from the viewpoints of different girls. Originally, these stories focused on various time periods in American history, but they expanded in 1995 to include characters from contemporary life, you know, surfer chicks and hippie girls and all sorts of cool chick stuff. And they also had a bunch of cool clothing and accessories. I personally had one. I loved it. Her name was Samantha. She was from the 1900s. She actually was a 1904 American Girl doll. I loved her. She looked just like me. Brown hair, brown eyes, you know. It was the best. I loved playing with Samantha. My favorite thing was going to the American Girl store, and because I'm from Southern California, it was in the Grove. It was the coolest thing. It's two stories of nothing but doll stuff, and it was, like, amazing. I just could not get over how awesome it was. So, I actually went to the American Girl store a couple times, and I found out that they had auditions for roles that they put on little plays at the store. So you could audition for a couple roles, and, you know, me being like 8 years old and going, yes, I've been in musicals before, I have acting experience, and I have musical talent. So I went and auditioned for these American Girl doll plays, and I never got it, sadly, but I think it had something to do with the fact that I was a little chubby as a kid. But what are you going to do? I mean, you got to look the part. So all I know is that American Girl dolls were awesome. They had the magazine that would be sent to your house like every month, and you'd want something new out of the magazine every time you looked at it. You're just like, yes, they came out with rollerblades for my American Girl doll, or they came out with a puppy or a kitty or something, you know? And you're just like, yes, I have to have it. Mom, please, can I? And the day that I got my American Girl doll wrapped up for Christmas was just cake. I was so happy. I literally almost cried. I could not believe how much they cost, though. American Girl dolls, like $100. But damn, are those dolls durable as hell. They are just, they're strong dolls.
They're huge.
That too, they're about the size of, from my foot to my knee. So, yeah.
Calf.
Like a foot, they're like a foot doll almost, kinda. Yeah. They're pretty big, I know. All right, well that's gonna wrap up our second segment called I Played With That. Thank you, Shortstop, for putting in whatever you could.
Anytime.
All right, so I'm gonna play another Madonna song for you guys. This is DJ Throwback here on The Rewind. Stay tuned, time travelers. We're going to continue on after this short break. This is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you.
right, welcome back, time travelers. This is DJ Throwback here. You are listening to The Rewind here on Thursday night. It's around 8:30. We're heading into our third segment called Bring It Back. Now, in this segment, I'm going to talk about movies and television shows that I think should be brought back. The first movie I'm going to talk about is The Goonies. So I have some special guests here with me. And how about you say something, short step?
About what?
Say hi.
Oh, hello there.
All right. Now, how are you? I have DJ Euster over here, too. Say hi, Euster.
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
All right. Sounds good to me, guys. So, thank you guys for coming on with me today. We're going to talk about The Goonies. So, The Goonies is a 1985 American adventure comedy film directed by Richard Donner. And it was actually produced by Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg is one of my favorite directors. So, it features a group of preteens who live in the Goondocks neighborhood in Astoria, Oregon. And the group attempts to save their homes from demolition. Excuse me. On the way, they discover an old Spanish map leading them to an adventure on Earth, a long-lost treasure from One-Eyed Willie, the legend of a 17th century pirate. This movie was released in June 7th of 1985, and it reached the box office of $61.4 million. It stars Sean Astin as Mikey, Corey Feldman as Mouth, Ki-Hui Kwan as Data, John Borland as Brandon, or Brad, Jeff Cohen as Chunk, and Carrie Green as Andy, Martha Pimpton as Steph, and John Matsukak as Sloth. So, what did you guys think of The Goonies when you first saw it?
Honestly, I was kind of scared of it. The first time I watched it was like at an after-school daycare center.
Okay.
After school, so I was like, what? Elementary, middle school. So, just seeing segments of it, it was dark. It just creeped me out.
Yeah, it's definitely a dark movie. I didn't realize how dark it was. I know, when I first watched it, I was like, what is this? I mean, I was about 13 when I first saw it, and I was just like, wow, this is really dark. What about you, Euster?
I think since I was a boy and taught to be tougher, like, when movies you were supposed to be like, okay, that's a monster, whatever, and, like, I was raised with horror movies more and, like, with darker things, but I just saw it as a cool movie and it was, like, fun, especially that there was more boys in the movie. Then, like, actually, there was no girls in the movie except for, like, the two girls. But there
Steph
was no young girls. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
there was, like, no little girls.
I mean, they were young.
They were teenage girls, though, compared to the boys, which were, like, from 8 to 10.
Okay, so. Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
The first time I ever watched this movie was for a fundraiser. I had a big movie night in my living room. We used to have a projector screen that came down. And I did it as a fundraiser because I was going on some trip with school, and I actually charged everybody $1 to come see The Goonies and The Gremlins. And I'd never seen either one of those movies, and so each one of my friends was surrounding the couch, and we're all sitting there watching this going, what are we watching? This 1980s movie is so weird, but it's so cool at the same time, you know? So I know that there is my favorite thing that happened is at the end when Chunk befriends Sloth, and Sloth comes in and saves everybody. And he says, hey, you guys! What do you guys think of that part? I thought it was pretty great.
I don't even remember some of the parts, honestly.
Chunk was definitely a character. He was really funny. I remember connecting to him, especially the food part. I was like, I'm hungry. What is that? I want to eat that, too.
Is he the little kid who, like, shakes his
stomach? He does the truffle shuffle!
Yes!
Yes, he's the one who does the truffle shuffle because Mouth, who never stops running his mouth, goes, we'll only let you in if you do the truffle shuffle.
That's the one scene I remember.
Yeah, that's another memorable part. And I remember there's another... The catchphrase of actually the movie was, Goonies never say die. Which they never did. Tragically, nobody died. So, I mean, it was pretty good movie, I think. So, Goonies, 1985 adventure film, kind of made me want to go look for buried treasure. I know that if there was old pirate One-Eyed Willie around, I'd probably go, hey, let's go look for treasure, guys. Would you guys come with me?
Definitely.
Yeah? Come? Cool. Which character you think you'd be like? Data? Would you be the one with all the little inventions and cool things to get us out of a mess?
Knowing our friend group, you'll probably make me be like the truffle shuffle.
You think you'd be like Chunk?
Yes.
I don't think I'd make you do the truffle shuffle. Maybe you'd be like Steph's. Let's go back, let's go back. Freaking out the entire time.
Yes, we'll still continue going anyways.
But I think that's definitely Sierra's part. Let's go back, let's go back.
Yeah.
And then Jared, the boyfriend, that's like, no, we can keep going.
So Jared would be like the brand of the group. What do you think, Lawrence? Euster. You think you'd be a Chunk?
I could probably definitely see myself as Chunk.
I can see you as a mouth.
Oh, that's actually probably better. I can keep talking and talking sometimes.
Yeah, I can definitely see you as a mouth, you know. La 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 la, never stops running his mouth, gets into trouble all the time. I don't know, I don't think who would you guys think I would be like from that group?
That's a really hard question,
yeah,
because like each character does not match you correctly.
I know, yeah. Right? It's crazy.
Different parts of
I'm
each person.
An uncastable character. Ha ha ha. All right. Well, enough talk about the Goonies. So Goonies never say die, guys. We're gonna go into our next piece of the segment here, and this one is a TV show, actually. Do you guys remember The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yes, yes, I do. Yeah. Love that show.
All right. Well, it first aired in September of 1990 on NBC. It's a fictional version of Will Smith himself. Will Smith was actually the lead in Fresh Prince. So he's a street smart teen from West Philadelphia. He's sent to Bel Air to live with his wealthy aunt and uncle. The series shows Will's lifestyle, often clashing with the rich, prissy lifestyles of his aunt and uncle and cousins in Bel Air. The show lasted about 6 seasons and aired about 150 episodes. It ended in 1996. So 6 seasons, about 6 years. So a season a year. What was like the one thing you guys never forgot about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Oh my gosh, a Carlton dance. I love the Carlton dance.
All right. Carlton was Will's cousin. And he was well known for the dance. Actually, I think the actor that played him won Dancing with the Stars
with
last
dance.
Season. Yeah, with that dance. Alfonso Ribeiro. He won that Dancing with the Stars. Now, Fresh Prince starred James Avery as Uncle Phil, Alfonso Ribeiro as Carlton, Karen Parsons as Hillary, and Tatiana Ali as Ashley. And of course, who can forget Jeffrey the Butler, who was played by Joseph Marcel. And you can't forget Aunt Vivian, played by Daphne Reed. So, and actually later played by Janet Hubert. Crazy, I didn't know there was 2 different Aunt Vivians.
You didn't? They're so noticeable.
I must not have paid that much attention as a kid when I watched the show. I just got so amused with whatever the heck Will was doing in Carlton, you know?
Definitely.
The Carlton dance was definitely a big splash from that. It was between that and whatever the heck Will was wearing, because he always wore some pretty crazy outfits. Like, his pants were so light and his shirts were so crazy. All sorts of different patterns, and you're just like, whoa, you stand out in a crowd, sir. What do you have to say, Euster? Anything?
I remember connecting to the sister of the show because she was always shopping, and I was like, I'm always randomly shopping, and I'm like, the dad for the family, like, yeah. Uncle Phil was always giving the daughter a headache about how much money she's spending, and he's like, you need to go get a real job. And so, like, now I understand how much money is hard to get by, for sure.
you relate the most to Hillary.
Yeah.
I see that. I can see that, you little shopaholic, you. What do you think, over there, Short Steph? Who do you relate to the most, you feel?
I really don't know. It's, like, between Ashley and Jeffrey.
I was going to say Jeffrey. That's really funny. I was going to say you are definitely Jeffrey the Butler. Like, sometimes you can be serious and chill, and then boom, the crazy comes out. You're just the funniest thing in the whole world. I think it's pretty dang funny. I don't know. I thought Will got into quite some tuffles with Uncle Phil, but in the end, you knew they loved each other at the end of every episode. I think that the most memorable thing from Fresh Prince was when Will and his best friend started a band upstairs, and it was the funniest thing. His friend, his best friend was Nikki. Oh, not Nikki, excuse me.
Jazz.
Jazz, that's right. I was like, Nikki's their cousin. Her best friend was Jazz, and he always seemed to be like the mellow version of Will. But it was still really funny because, you know, Will thought he could sing and rap at the same time as Jazz playing the drums. And Jazz couldn't play the drums for nothing. So it was just hilarious. And Uncle Phil, you know, headache after headache after headache after headache. He could not stand Will and Jazz together. Man, that was just crazy. But I think all in all, Will really did adjust to living in Bel Air. He became a pretty boy towards the end of the seasons. Honestly, he was acting more like Carlton, and Carlton was acting more like Will towards the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It just started getting crazy, and I'll never forget this show. It was really funny. And who can never forget the theme song? Like, that is the one thing that made that show, like, yes, it's coming on. You know it's coming on, and everybody knows the song. So with that, I'm going to end this third segment here on The Rewind. This is DJ Throw. You are listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. All right, this is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm going to take another short break and bring you our last and final segment of the night. So this final segment and this song, you're going to know real well. Enjoy, time travelers. We'll be back after this break.
Is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air." I begged and pleaded with her day after day, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said, "I might as well kick it." First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel Air living like? This might be alright. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said fresh and it had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. Yo, home's the Bel Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, home, smell you later." Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
All right. Hey. This is DJ Throwback here. Welcome back, time travelers. It's Throwback Thursday here on The Rewind. All right, so we're going to go into our final segment of the night called This Was My Jam. So on this segment, I'll talk about some old songs that you may have listened to before and you're like, yes, I remember this. This was totally my stuff. So the first little group that I have on blast today is going to be the Beastie Boys. So the Beastie Boys are an American hip-hop band from New York City. They were formed in 1981. The members are Michael Diamond, Mike D, he's also known as Mike D, Adam Yauch, also known as MCA, Adam Horowitz, who's known as Ad Rock. And they were originally actually formed as a four-piece hardcore punk band. They were named the Young Aborigines, and the original members were Mike Diamond, John Barry, Adam Yock, and Katie Schoenbach. So Barry just left the band, and he was actually replaced by Harvowitz. Adam Harvowitz, that is. After 1983, the experimental hip-hop Stalinbach. They experimented with hip-hop. Stalinbach ended up leaving the band, and then they fully transitioned into hip-hop and embraced it. So, I know this first song was my jam back when I was in middle school. Yes, it's from the 80s, but I loved this song when I was at Co-Rec, which was a little dance place for middle schoolers. You go every Friday, you know, have a good time. And this song, whenever it came on, everybody would get down. And I've had my mom tell me, because she was an 80s child, she told me, you know, back in the 80s, this was the club jam. Everybody would get down to this song. So I'm going to play you some of the Beastie Boys right now. Let's see if y'all remember Brass Monkey. That was Brass Monkey here on The Rewind here at Penguin Radio. So I know that song was amazing. Now I'm going to play for you guys another Beastie Boys song. This one I also danced to back in my middle school days at my middle school dances. God, those days feel so long ago now. So what did you guys think of Brass Monkey? Do you remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It was so much fun.
It was so much fun? Did you used to dance to it, too?
I guess bobbing head, does that count? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's dancing. It's like the white boy shuffle. You know, side to side. That's the white boy shuffle. What about you, Euster?
I think I was left out of this culture. Sadly. I was listening to it, and I see you guys dancing to it. I'm like, I have no idea what the song is, but I will pretend that it's good.
Didn't they use it, like, in commercials, though?
Yeah, they've used it in commercials and all sorts of different advertisements. But, I mean, Are you really gonna like know a song off of a commercial? There's so many different commercials out there, and that song's from the 80s. It's kind of popular
if it's catchy enough.
Yeah,
remember.
Well, I also was a sheltered child. My mom would not let me watch certain channels when I was young. I think it was like up to like 6 channels that I was able to watch, like Disney Channel and Cartoon Network, like not even Cartoon Network. She would think that was a bad influence too. So it was like PBS and all those like educational shows were the only shows I could see.
Oh, I mean, my mom definitely limited me on what I could watch, but my mom was also in the 80s child, so jeez, I had to know the Beastie Boys. If I didn't know the Beastie Boys, I wasn't a cool kid, and my parents weren't cool parents. Anyways, I'm going to play you another Beastie Boys song here. I hope you guys enjoy it. This one is called Girls, and I know that when I was a kid, this song definitely made all the girls get up and dance in middle school. What did you think over there? I see you kind of dancing around, showing stuff.
Not dancing, I'm like spazzing out. I love that song.
It's one of the Beastie Boys' greater songs. I agree. So here's Girls by the Beastie Boys. This is Penguin Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back, time travelers. So, we're going to head into the next artist. But first, I know you guys want to talk about girls, don't you? Easter, what do you have to say about girls?
I actually remember that song.
Yay! I'm proud of you. So, another thing about the Beastie Boys. Sadly, they lost a member back in 2012. MCA, also known as Adam Yauch, passed away from lymph node cancer. And I know that I was upset when I heard that MCA had passed away. Wow, that rhymed. Maybe I should be the new member of the Beastie Boys. I can rap. Just kidding. Anyways, I know I was sad when MCA died, and it was just tragic. And literally, I couldn't believe it. The guy was only 47. My parents are, you know, in their 40s. It's crazy to think about losing them anytime soon. But anyways, we're going to go into our next artist, which is Devo. So Devo is an American rock band formed in 1972 from Kent and Akron, Ohio. The members are Mark and Bob Mothersbaugh and their brothers, as well as brothers Gerald and Bob Casillas. And then they also had another member named Alan Myers. So this first song is Whip It. You're going to listen to it here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back. That was Whip It by Devo. So actually, we've lost two members of Devo, Alan Myers in 2013. He died of stomach cancer at 58. And Bob Castle in 2014. He died suddenly from conditions that led to heart failure. He was 61 years old. Now, it's sad to hear about death in these bands of the day from the 80s. I'm going to leave you guys now because my time here is pretty much up. This is going to be the last song of the night. So I'm going to play you some more of Devo. This was The Rewind here on Throwback Thursday. I'm DJ Throwback. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you, and tune in next Thursday, which is my new show times, 8 to 9 Thursday nights on The Rewind. So see you later, time travelers. Don't forget to tune in next week here on Penguin Radio.